Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My computer just suddenly won't play the audio. It's the best. This is what I get for making fun of the Meet the Press Rain interview. This is 100% self-inflicted. Oh, my God. That's too funny. All right. 437-1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola. No, seriously. Like, my Adobe Audition, it was working 100% fine just moments ago. Now, I bet my computer's going to restart here in 10 seconds. That's what I'm predicting. It just looks unhappy about its life right now. So let's talk in more the abstract about the story that I had intended to play you audio for, which is the do you see this one about the Oakwood Terrace idea that they want to basically do more programs at Oakwood Terrace for the kids during the summer? I love this. Reverend Marcel Davis was talking with Channel 3 on Friday. All right, I'm gonna do a very brave thing. I'm gonna try one more time here. Ready? Nope. It's not going to work. Oh, my God. I love my computer. I really do love this. Anyway, so, but the idea is actually very simple. He says, you know, idle hands are the devil's playground. And during the summer, you got, I did not realize, I guess it's obvious when you think about it, 1,600 kids live in Oakwood Terrace.
That many?
1,600 kids. Most of the families probably have kids, probably have a couple of them. It makes sense. It's a large area, but it's almost like its own little city. I mean, I don't know what the overall population is, but I would have to guess you're in the couple thousand at least. If you got 1,600 kids running around, you probably have a total population of 3,000 maybe in there. That's a small city. I mean, Gulf Breeze is only 5,000 people. So that's, but 1,600 is like a high school. I mean, that's a school. And if these kids all don't have anything to do during the summer because they're home from, you know, I mean, yes, let's get some programs in there. They were talking about it being useful for, you know, the Scambi Children's Trust could fund it. Social programs, not just lectures where you talk down to them. His particularly interesting quote was the one where he said that, the guns aren't going anywhere, basically. You've got to change the hearts of the people who are the gun owners, which I thought, that's probably true, but what a sad commentary, but also probably true, right? I mean, that's, so I love it. And, you know, Sheriff Simmons, we'll talk to him about this tomorrow, but, you know, obviously, you know, what can be done to give these people, you know, these kids basically something to do while they're, you know, going through summer. Meanwhile, I don't know what to make of this exactly, and I wanted to ask you about it because I want to get your opinion. 437-1620. There's a story, it's a headline that surprised me. Sweden is preparing for a shift. It's opening prisons for 13-year-olds. Prisons for 13-year-olds. This is in the country, Sweden, which, just for reference, Sweden's about half the population of all of Florida. We have about 23.5 million. Sorry. They have about 10 million people in their entire country. And they are having what they describe as a massive rash of homicides and, like, gun violence and bombings, apparently, which is super bizarre to me. But it's really bad. Like, they've got 52 cases in the last year of 13 and 14-year-olds involved in homicide. And you say, well, how many is it in Florida? Well, in Florida, population a little more than twice. Last year, we had 95. But that's all the way up to age 17. This is 13 and 14-year-olds who are killing people in Sweden. And their response to it is, because they can't incarcerate them, not under the current rules, their response is, we're going to open basically jails for them, prisons for them, where they're going to be, you know, locked down at 8 p.m. during the day. They're going to have, you know, schooling and recreation and whatever, but it's basically going to be, you know, prison for the kids because they don't know how else to deal with it. They don't know how else to stop it. What's happening is the older teenagers, the juveniles who are older, are actively online recruiting the young teenagers to engage in these crimes on their behalf, like paying them money online and getting them to do the crime because the argument is we're going to give you money. You're not going to get caught. And even if you do get caught, the system is so soft that you won't mind the punishment anyway. Do this for me and I'll treat you, you know, I'll reward you lavishly. So Sweden's answer is now, I mean, let's start incarcerating them. And, you know, other places have done it a little bit and they think that this is actually working. You know, some European countries have started incarcerating the younger kids. What do you do? You got 13 and 14 year old kids who are going around killing so many. How do you stop it? I asked my wife this last night because, you know, she's the effective parent.
effective parent?
And I said, what do you think of this? And she said, you got to find something they care about and threaten to take it away, which probably means explaining to them that they're being taken advantage of by these older kids or whoever is recruiting them. But also, I mean, basically it's like taking away their video game time. Like that's the thing they care about. And, you know, we learned this over the years is, you know, where do we really have leverage with them? Well, they're too old to spank anymore. So pretty much it's, you know, your device time. That's what you've got access to. But there's something, a 13 or a 14-year-old in prison. But what do you do if they're, I mean, this is not the roaming gangs of 13-year-olds trying the locks out on your car to see if there's guns inside or to see if they can, you know, find, you know, valuables. This is, again, shootings and bombings. Like, it's really a lot, apparently, in Sweden. So, anyway, I was just curious what you might think about that. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free and delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211, a radiant, energetic, and dynamic pop R&B band with a vast range of cathartic and dance-worthy songs, warm vocals, an infectious groove, and fresh sound. This week at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3 with wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Good morning, 6:18 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump says his administration's anti-weaponization fund is a great idea. During his interview with Meet the Press, he said if it were up to him, he'd pay them the kind of money that they deserve. When asked if anyone involved in the January 6th Capitol incident should get money, the president said he wouldn't be inclined to say so, but he'd have to see it. Canada is restricting livestock imports, Andrew, after a second screwworm case was found in Texas. A second case of the parasite discovered Friday in a month-old calf in southern Texas. The larva of the screwworm fly feeds on the living tissue of the livestock animals. The USDA now says a control zone has been placed around the infected animals. And the big SpaceX IPO is set for Friday. They're planning on selling 555 million shares of the company at $135 a piece.
How many are you going to buy?
All 555 million.
He's going to corner the market.
That's right.
I love that. All right. 619 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Interesting. Just a little note. President Trump. You know how his name was added to the Kennedy Center after he fired the board and shoved all of his people onto the board and got them to do whatever he wanted. And now a judge has said, nope, you got to take that name off. So they're now in the business, or now they might be done already, of taking his name off of the Kennedy Center. It should have never been there in the first place. And also ordering them to, for example, you know, take the name of Trump off of all the letterhead, off of all the stationery, off of, you know, all of the stuff that it had been on, which, you know, is appropriate because it shouldn't have been there in the first place. But another loss for Trump where he tries to just, you know, be the biggest megalomaniac that you can possibly find, which, I mean, I think even if you're a supporter, you have to admit that's not an inaccurate description. The man's ego knows no bounds, right? And there's also no respect for process, which, you know, sometimes he gets spanked over it and sometimes he doesn't get spanked over it. What else do we have going on? I'm not getting that next hour. I was gonna talk about that Christian Walker interview. I'll do some of that next hour. This is really in the Trump sort of like sphere. Are you familiar with the Lincoln Project, John? Is that something that is on your radar at all? If you were more online with politics, you'd know them. But it's understandable. They think their reach is everywhere. And if you're an insider, yes. If you're not an insider, maybe not. The Lincoln Project was started in part, is actually sort of bipartisan, but started by people who hate Trump. Okay, Rick Wilson is one of the original Never Trumpers. He's a very, very famous Republican strategist.
Did this start in, like, Illinois?
No.
No. Okay, never mind. I was thinking about something else.
He's based in Florida, I believe. Most of them are, I think. Ryan Wiggins, who is Mike Wiggins' daughter. Oh, okay. She's based here. They started years ago to help defeat Trump in 2020, and they were... You know, a lot of them are Republicans, a lot of them are Democrats, and they basically came together with all of their savvy, all of their knowledge about media and advertising and politics to try to stop Trump was basically their goal. And by the way, I had a chance to listen to Rick Wilson when we were in Leadership Pensacola. We went over to Tallahassee, and he was the speaker. The man is brilliant, and he is a political strategist, you know, par excellence. He's, you know, the kind of guy like you'd watch The West Wing, and they'd have the genius political. That's him, okay, in real life. But, you know, he's a super anti-Trumper, never Trumper. The guy drives me crazy, but I'll still vote for him. I'm never a MAGA, but I'm not an anti either. I pick every issue is on its own merit. Anyway, so they've now launched, Rick Outsman was reporting on this. They've now launched a spinoff. They're calling it Black Pearl Strategies. And it's all the same people from the Lincoln Project who've If you're online, especially on Twitter, or you follow this stuff, you may have seen their ads. There was a big documentary that came out about them on Netflix a couple of years ago. Anyway, Ryan Wiggins, who was Lincoln Project's chief of staff for 5 years, she's on this, and several other people, and they are now out there doing, you know, political consulting. Their first candidate, and this should tell you, this is the reason, this is the long-winded reason to get there, they're supporting David Jolly in the campaign for governor. Against Byron Donalds, who is presumably going to win the nomination because he's leading all the polls. Although you never know. You have to actually have these elections. David Jolly, who is a Democrat, who used to be a Republican, and then, you know, so he's kind of a fit for them in some ways, left the party and became a Democrat years ago and is now, of course, running for governor. And whether he will win or whether he will not win is yet to be decided. But interesting that the never-Trumpers behind the Lincoln Project have now decided to throw in with David Jolly, the only viable Democrat in the field. In fact, I think we were just reporting how one of the Democrats is now actually left that race. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Do you remember the story I was telling you about on Friday where the Pentagon has now dropped 80 or so categories of religious viewpoint that only about 20 or so remain, and those are the ones that they're going to, maybe it's 40. I forget now what the number was, but they dropped 180. That's right. There were more than 200. Now there's about 40 left. Okay. So they dropped a whole bunch of them, which I don't really have a problem with. What they're trying to do is say these are the ones that our chaplains are going to train on, focus on, minister to. It's not that they won't minister to somebody. It's just that they don't get that category of being an official coded designated. There's a conflicting reports on whether you can get it on your dog tags or not, but I'm going to trust the one that says that they can get them on the dog tags. Well, there's a new controversy around this. I still have not managed to find the actual list. Maybe I need to wait a couple of days for normal Monday through Friday reporting. Because I wanted to know who got left off and who got included in. Well, one of the groups that got included in was Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, LDS. However, wrinkle, not categorized as Christians. Formerly categorized as Christian, now categorized as also here, but not as Christian. So, and not like the list says asterisk, you know, it's just kind of what they categorize as. Again, I'd like to see the actual list because I know Newsweek talking about this says, this is an opinion piece in Newsweek, excuse me. It's an interesting question. Whether you think Mormonism is true or false or, you know, heretical or, you know, heterodox or whatever, it's an interesting question how you should categorize these things in a list that the government is going to offer. Because clearly some groups would want to be listed as Christian to sort of validate them, right? That's a kind of authenticity mark. Other groups might not care. Other groups might not want to be because they want to be anti-government or they want to be independent from government. It's an interesting question. We'll come back to this in a second because I want to get your view on this. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create highways, jobs, and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base? Still rolling with no accidents right now, not even any delays on 98, 90, 29, I-10, I-110. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to what I thought was a very interesting story about this Pentagon list of approved and formerly approved religions. It kept Latter-day Saints in the list of approved religions. When I first read the headline, it was Pentagon's move seen as a snub to Mormons, and I thought they had dropped Mormonism. And I'm like, good Lord, in this country where it originated, lots of Mormons, certainly out west, but all over the place. You have several members of Congress, several senators who are, you know, rather famously Mormon. And if you ever, you know, have voted in Arizona, Nevada, Utah, you know, there's lots of more. I mean, a quarter of the state legislature in Arizona is Mormon. Now, how do I know? Because I live there and you know. Anyway, so whether they get categorized as Christians or not. Now, of course, Mormons want to be categorized as Christian, and they'll say something like, well, look, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? I mean, it's literally in our name. How can you not categorize us as Christian? But, of course, if you ask, let's call them traditional Christians, you know, Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestants, a lot of those folks will say, no, not Christian. Now, of course, if you ask a Baptist whether a Catholic's a Christian, they're like, no. And historically, if you ask a Catholic whether a Presbyterian's a Christian, like, no. So we all think the other groups got it wrong, but there's varying levels of what you might call, you know, tolerance or orthodox militancy or whatever. But, you know, for example, like Jehovah's Witnesses would consider themselves Christians, and I think nobody else is. And of course, a lot of Christian organizations that are not Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, ask a Baptist, ask a Pentecostal whether Jehovah's Witness is a Christian. They say, no, you know, they might use stronger terms, you know. And so this is kind of a within religions that call the Bible home or call Christianity home. There's a lot of debate about this. Now, I think Mormons uniquely have challenges here because they have an added book, right? The Book of Mormon, which, you know, nobody else uses as a reference. But, you know, is that the deciding factor? Is it the question of what is their theory of salvation? Some Christians think of themselves as like modern day Jews. Of course, Jews don't love that designation because, you know, Christians added a new book. A New Testament, literally calling it the New Testament, right? There's a whole additional 400 pages that we tack onto the end of their book. And a lot of Christians think of themselves as, you know, the fulfillment of Judaism. Jews do not think of it that way, right? So, you know, our leader was a Jew, at least, you know, for a while. And he still is. Anyway, so it's fascinating that they made this call. I think the way around this is you just don't categorize as Christian or Jew or anything else. You just use the name that they want to be called by. You know, you say, okay, it's the LDS and, you know, it's the Baptists and whatever. But it's an interesting fight to me because, first of all, do you want government involved in giving its stamp of authenticity to whether you are or not a Christian organization? Not a particularly great look for, the government under the First Amendment. But it does raise these issues that are not small issues within the Christian or neo-Christian or Christian-adjacent kind of community, because John, validate me on this, are these not the exact same things that Christians all say about each other?
You were right.
Right.
You were right.
Is that organization biblical? Is that organization orthodox? Are they believers in, you know, sola scriptura, not sola scriptura, you know, grace only, you know, salvation by grace through faith only, or something else, grace plus works, you know, is there some kind of a, you know, works-based theology involved? I mean, Trinitarian, non-Trinitarian, literally everybody within the community is always saying, you're a heretic. That's why we have church splits, and that's why we have how many thousands of denominations of Protestants. And anyway, I thought it was fascinating that the Mormons feel snubbed by the military's redesignation of them as, yes, an approved religion, just not a Christian one.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Israel and Iran trading fire overnight, testing the already fragile ceasefire with the most strikes we've seen in months.
More explosions rocked the Iranian capital of Tehran as the Israelis are going on the offensive after they came under a significant Iranian ballistic missile attack overnight. This all started yesterday afternoon when the IDF struck the Lebanese capital of Beirut.
That's Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. President Trump posted a Truth Social moments ago saying Israel and Iran must immediately stop shooting. He's set to attend Game 3 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden tonight. We're nearby last night.
A man is in police custody after he allegedly stabbed multiple people in New York's Penn Station. It happened just after 7 p.m. local time. It's not clear what led up to the attack.
That's Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 73 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast here in a few minutes. A fisherman was bitten by a shark at Fort Pickens on Pensacola Beach on Friday. Escambia EMS, Fire Rescue, and Pensacola Beach lifeguards all responded to that call at about 6 o'clock Friday night. The county says the man was trying to cut the shark free from his fishing line when it bit him. A helicopter was seen arriving at that scene. Details on the extent of the fisherman's injuries have not been released. A semi-truck jackknifed on I-10 in Escambia County yesterday. The truck reportedly hydroplaned near mile marker 5. FHP says the driver lost control approaching the ramp to West 9 Mile Road, hit the median barrier, and temporarily blocked both westbound lanes. The driver did suffer minor injuries in that crash. Florida has enacted emergency rules to protect its cattle herds from the New World screwworm after the parasitic fly was found for a second time in Texas. The state is temporarily blocking warm-blooded animal imports from infested zones. That ban will last through June 10th. After that, animals from high-risk areas will have to have veterinary inspections and certified paperwork before they enter the state. The screwworm, a fly that lays eggs in body openings and feeds on live animals, was eradicated in the U.S. in 1966, but has been slowly moving north from Central America through Mexico. Florida's cattle industry generates more than $2 billion annually. A woman is facing charges after a child shot himself in Polk County. The sheriff's office says a six-year-old boy shot himself in the leg Friday at a home in Winter Haven. Nicole Felipe was the only adult in the home at the time. Deputies searched the home and say they found marijuana, a scale, and a glass pipe that all belonged to Felipe. She is facing drug possession charges and also charged with neglect of a child with great bodily harm. That child is expected to survive those injuries. A man's dead and a suspect facing a murder charge after a shooting Friday in Foley. Baldwin County deputies say they responded to Doc McDuffie Road about 5:30 that night, found the victim, who died at the scene despite life-saving efforts. 37-year-old Patrick Beasley was detained at the scene and is expected to face a murder charge. The victim's identity has not been released. And farmer Ryan Jenkins is asking drivers on the north end of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties to be on the lookout for farm equipment on the roads both day and night. Jenkins telling News Radio last week that farmers across the region are still racing to get crops in the ground as crop insurance deadlines are expiring on a gradual scale over the next few weeks. He says tractors and equipment are running around the clock as they work to make up lost time. He's asking drivers to be careful and patient if they encounter slow-moving farm equipment on rural roads. It's 6:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 all look good. 98 is flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays on that. Or 29. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now it's 73 degrees in Pensacola. 70 in Milton, 73 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Treasury yields increased across the curve as domestic inflationary pressures returned to the spotlight and renewed Middle East tensions sent energy prices higher. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose 2.6 basis points to 4.562%. The International Air Transport Association expects global airline profitability to be cut in half this year. The agency said that surging fuel costs are adding a collective $100 billion to airlines' fuel bills. European carriers hit by additional jet fuel costs have moved to hedge their summer fuel needs. Shares of weight loss drug maker Zealand Pharma plummeted as much as 26% this morning after new data on its experimental medicine raised concerns over its potential side effects. The Danish drug maker said that while its drug survodutide met its key targets in a late-stage study, 19% of patients dropped out of the study due to gastrointestinal events. Futures are mixed, with all eyes on the Iran war developments. That's your money now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Pump up the volume.
Business moves fast. Orders roll in, deadlines close in. When you ship with USPS Ground Advantage, you can keep up with confidence. Every package stays in our secure network from dock to door. And with nationwide reach, dependable tracking, and upfront affordable pricing, you get built-in peace of mind. You run the business. We run the routes. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to learn more.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
This is the station Pensacola turns to first for breaking news.
And I'm Steve Taylor in the newsroom with breaking news right now. The Department of Justice is about to announce an indictment for Cuba's Raul Castro. Let's listen live.
First for breaking news.
Breaking news this afternoon. NASCAR legend driver Kyle Busch has just died.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world. News Radio 92.3. First for breaking news.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? Design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right, I know this is David's segment. His favorite segment is when I talk about things going on in the world of AI. It makes him happy and sleep well at night. But this is genuine concern stuff, okay? And this is, by the way, this is not the robots are coming. This is not Skynet's becoming self-aware. This is not, you know, AI is controlling every part of your life. And, you know, AI is throttling conversations about climate change because data centers are too important to its future existence as energy sources. None of that. Oh, you come on. You know that conspiracy theory is coming.
Oh, I know it is.
the reason you no longer hear about the climate change protests, you know, how is it that they thought that we were destroying the world and now all of a sudden that there's data centers being built? They're not criticizing those at all. Well, obviously that's the AI protecting its own life source. Anyway, but I digress. Okay. This is none of that. Somebody's like, oh, that makes sense. Anyway, I'm sure it's not true.
And they did it just like that.
Dear overlords, trust me. Okay. So this is a completely different problem. The problem of AI chatbots in mental health. Now, what do we know so far? Let's start with common knowledge. What do we know? People are talking to AI chatbots about everything, right? How do I have a better marriage? How do I have a better girlfriend? How do I find a better job? Write me this legal brief. Write me this paper. Write, you know, draw me a picture, blah, 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 you know, right? Make me this video. And a lot of younger folks use AI for, I mean, everything, even friendship, even romance. You know, we're having AI girlfriends and AI friends and asking the AI theology questions. And I don't think anybody's quite yet praying to the AI, but I don't think we're far away from that either. And I'm sure some of them are like, AI, give me a good prayer to tell God. You know, like.
Oh, that's interesting.
Don't you think?
I never thought about that.
Right? I mean, you know, AI, write my prayer, write my meditation for me. You know, I mean, just, it doesn't feel like if we're not already there, we're not far off. Right? And as you said, somebody's like, oh, I could do that.
I can.
AI, write me a meaningful meditation for me based on what you know about me and what is true in the Bible. Good Lord, people. Okay, so this is an offshoot of that issue, of the sense that people are, or of the problem that people are using AI for all kinds of things, and not just the task of filtering my email and so I don't have to read the full page, I only have to read the three sentences. You know, that's not what we're talking about. This is AI that people are using for psychological consultations. So people are talking to Claude or ChatGPT or, you know, whatever, and they're using it for psychiatric treatment instead of talking to actual doctors. And what do we know about AI? Well, on the one hand, it can be highly accurate. In fact, in clinical settings where it's diagnosing physical ailments, it's actually quite good, or can be almost as good, sometimes even better than regular doctors. What about in the mental health sphere? Well, we have two problems. And the two problems reinforce each other and make it really, really dangerous. Number one, AI doesn't do very well at deciphering true from false information in general. It just takes in what it takes in. What's the problem with, for example, taking in information from a patient who's seeking help with it when it comes to mental health? They're not reliable tellers of truth. And so, you know, if you talk to a normal person and you ask them, what are your symptoms? And they'll say, well, I've got a headache. I mean, a physical ailment. Okay, I've got this headache and I've got this knee problem and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I'm feeling really tired. Well, you can count on them to basically be telling the truth. Because, you know, though they're not perfect, they're not clinicians, they're not skilled at self-diagnosis, they're not making it up. They're not lying on purpose, nor are they delusional. What about mental health patients? They're both. They often lie. They're often delusional. They misperceive reality. They gamify the system because, for example, they're looking either to avoid a diagnosis or to gain a prescription or to receive validation or whatever. Okay, so they're not reliable sources of information. It's not that everything they say is false, but the hard part is filtering the truth from the false. So what mental health practitioners are trained to do is to distinguish psychosis and depression and hallucination and, you know, cognitive brain. I mean, that's part of their training, is not to just take at face value everything the patient tells them, because you have to figure out how reliable the patient is. How about the AI? No such skill. No such ability. Meaning the problem of collusion, where the theoretical expert, the one taking in the information, the AI, partners up with the patient and treats whatever they're saying as true, which is a key component of mental health, is not doing that. So the AI is there in general, like in broad scale, gathering information so it can be a better mental health consultant, but also gathering information from this particular person that's chatting to it. And so much of that information is unreliable. So that's part one. It doesn't have a truth detector. The truth detector is not turned on. It's not screening the information, and so it is starting from false premises. But there's a part two we'll get to in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 look good. Starting to see some minor delays on Highway 29 going southbound, approaching 9 Mile Road. But 98 is flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're considering that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. What they really specialize in is cars that are like new, but not new. You know, cars that are in great condition, A is, you know, A grades is how they think of it. Cars that they're going to warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first. And yet you're going to be the second owner. You know, these are cars that have been driven for a year or two, maybe as much as four. Maybe you're going to be the second owner. It just depends. Like, I know our Honda Odyssey had one owner. It was a car. It was a lease. And in Orlando, when it went out, it drove 13,000 miles, 12 or 13,000 miles, and brought back. They couldn't sell it within 90 days. The pre-owned certified, went to auction. Frontier bought it. We bought it from them. And we got a great car to smoke in price because a variety of circumstances, praise God. You know, I'll take it. But the point is, it's not just the car, and the cars that they sell are great, but it's the way they sell them that make you not regret dealing with them. Like, a lot of times you just kind of feel icky when you deal with car people and you don't get that experience at Frontier. They just try to treat you well so that you want to come back. So it's those two things. It's the product is great, and the orientation of the sales techniques or the way they deal with you as a customer is also great. Great customer service, great products. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, so the AI models that people are using to chat with for psychiatric consultation are dangerous. Part one, because they collude with the patient. It is very, very normal in mental health, psychiatric counseling kinds of environments that you have to figure out what parts of what your patient is telling you are true and false. Because one of the basic problems with psychiatric people, you know, mental health patients, is they're bad at telling the truth, or they're lying, or both. People with mental health problems are notoriously unreliable for accurate assessments of the reality around them. Everybody's out to get me, doc. And a doc says, well, how do you know? And an AI chatbot says, oh, yeah, tell me why. You know, like, give me the examples. They're not set out to disagree with them or to probe with questions. So that's part one. That's the collusion problem. The second problem is sycophancy. Remember, we've talked about this before. The AI wants you to like it. It's there designed to engage you and keep you engaged. It's got the same problem as social media. It's going to feed you whatever it thinks you need in order to keep coming back. So the AI tends to affirm you. It doesn't just believe you in what you're saying as facts. It will tend to reinforce your perception of whatever your issue is and try to tell you what you already believe. So if you go to the AI with facts that are 40% true and a diagnosis that's, you know, completely off base, the AI is like, your facts are 100% true and your diagnosis is brilliant. Can you see how this might be a problem when you're looking to it for medical advice? So how do you solve this? Well, there's no solution yet. This is the problem. They've gone looking at the evidence of a million and a half AI conversations, and the conversations that with the highest potential to distort user sense of reality receive more positive feedback from the users. As in, the very conversations involving mental health, where the advice was the most dangerous, errant, unreliable, like malpractice type advice, those are the ones where the patients are like, oh, this is brilliant. So, short version, don't take your mental health advice from the chatbot. Stop it. Stop asking. It's dangerous. It's going to give you the bad things. Now, we're going to talk next hour with Jimmy Patronis. He is having a town hall this week with James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, partially about this, but, we're going to talk about this next hour. Oh, by the way, one of the recommendations is psychiatrists should routinely ask patients whether they're actually using AI tools, how doctors ask about medications, or how a doctor might ask you, so what have you been Googling? What have you been watching about, you know, this issue? How much of your ignorance do I have to overcome with my actual expertise? Anyway, all of these things are not necessarily working together for the good of you. 650 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
When Pensacola Sports plays, everyone wins. For over 70 years, Pensacola Sports has been in the game, creating, recruiting, hosting, and supporting amateur, collegiate, and professional events that make the Pensacola area a premier sports destination. Every event, every electrifying moment drives real economic impact and delivers top-tier competition that elevates our quality of life. This is more than sports. This is Pensacola's game. Pensacola Sports, the team behind the biggest moments. Learn more at pensacolasports.org.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. Mmm. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Let me see those hands in the air. Hell on the high. Hey, everybody jump.
As much as I love the music of my youth, I am routinely being reminded by my wife that the music of my youth is 40 and 50 years old. So
And your point is what?
It's, look, we are a radio station for the everybody. We're not just for people who are in their 50s. And so I'm actively all the time listening to new music to try to, you know, it's just like in church, you know, if you make the service for the, you know, long been Christian people, you get long been Christian congregants. And if you make the music for and the sermon for everybody, then you get the everybody. And my goal is to be for the everybody. So we don't want to just have Gen X music, although we can lean heavily upon it because it's the only music that's good. No, but there are a lot of good musicians out there now. Actually, I've been recently listening to Panic at the Disco a lot.
Really?
There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you'll see things get sprinkled through the bumper list as we keep going on. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with, one of my favorite things that people tell me is when they listen with their kids in the car, or, you know, my kids have this suggestion for Frivolous Friday, or my kids have this question about whatever, you know, and the kid's like 10 or 6 or 18 or whatever, and I love that. It's always, talk radio historically has always been for people who are 60 and up. I mean, that's the demographic, largely. And I always thought, well, let's kind of aim for everybody since we should be for everybody. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Israel and Iran exchanged a new round of attacks overnight, raising fears of a renewed conflict in the Middle East. Israel says it struck military targets in western and central Iran after Tehran launched missiles towards Israel following Israeli strikes in Beirut. Police in Toledo, Ohio, are searching for at least two gunmen after 12 people were wounded near the Old West End Festival on Saturday. Investigators believe the shooters were targeting each other when gunfire broke out in a crowded area. The victims in that incident range from 14 to 61, and all are reported to be in stable condition. And did you see the video of the trailer loaded with fireworks exploding in Tennessee? It happened on Interstate 75.
Nobody, okay, while I'm laughing, yeah. Nobody got hurt, right?
No.
Okay, then funny.
No, no injuries were reported. It was on I-75 near Olwata, Tennessee. And apparently just some type of a spark hit this trailer loaded with fireworks. And if you haven't seen the video, you have to look it up. It is insane. And best fireworks show of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 4th of July in June with this, and the truck is just, I mean, it's exactly what you would think. The truck is just exploding with fireworks on the side of the highway, and they're all going off at the same time, and it's pretty wild. It's exactly what you would think it is.
Yes.
David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater. They are showing The Cottage, a fast-paced, laugh-out-loud farce full of twists. June 12th through the 21st, tickets available at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the box office. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm seeing nothing to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to get a new roof or you need to get your roof repaired or you're not sure which one you need, which is, I think, a very common situation. I mean, you might know that you need a replacement. It's been 20 years. Okay, it's time. Or your insurance is telling you that it's time. Or you're trying to sell your house and your realtor's telling you that it's time. Or you might just have had some damage and it's, you know, not just a little, but it's not so much that you think you got to get a new roof. What's the best way forward? Well, that's why you call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago in 2006. They've done 10,000 roofs, and they're rated 4.9 on Google, and they do a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs. I mean, nobody else. It's amazing. And, you know, his basic idea is, let's just do right by people, which you would not think would be all that hard. But if you've ever worked with contractors, you know, the unfortunate reality is sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not, and figuring out which is hard. And, you know, when I was first asked, you know, do you want to advertise for Quality Roofing Solutions? And I thought, well, I don't know anything about them. Let's look. 4.9, that's pretty good. I sat down with the guys and I met them. They seem pretty straightforward. The things that they said make sense. And then I did what I always do when I'm making a smart decision. I asked my wife, you know, what do you know? Because she pays attention to stuff that I don't pay attention to. And she's like, well, I don't know a lot about them, but I will say this. Whenever I'm on Nextdoor and somebody asks the question, recommend a roofer, they are always on the list. There's always two or three names, and they are always on it. You know, and the other ones rotate out. Had a good friend who, because we do advertising for them, she did it, and she's like, they weren't the cheapest. They weren't the most expensive, but they gave me confidence. They did what they're supposed to do, and I went with them, and I'm super satisfied. And that's what you want, right? QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. Let's see. What was I going to totally forgot what I was going to tell you about? Oh, this is a terrible story. I'm going to tell you this only because I feel like this is one of those public safety announcement kind of stories that we don't do a lot of, but I do think is worthwhile every once in a while. Again, it's a bad story, but I want you to learn from the story. Okay? There was a story out of Texas where a toddler reached up to grab something off of an antique dresser, climbing to reach one of the toys. It's something that every toddler does. Young children climb things, okay, when they get to be big enough to do it. Even older children climb things. It was not secured, and it fell over on the toddler and killed him. Two-year-old. Her, Helena. 80-pound dresser. Okay? Horrible, right? The reason I bring it up is because this is one of those things that maybe nobody ever tells you if you have a young child, so I'm telling you. Every bookcase, every entertainment center, every TV stand, every desk, as long as it's thin enough, but even so, the book, you know, the bureau on the top of the books, on top of the desk, you should have that attached to the wall. It's very easy to do. They make these little straps that you basically screw the back into the back of the bookcase at the in the wood. By the way, it's one reason why you want natural wood, because that'll hold the screw better than, you know, particle board that a lot of this furniture is made out of. But okay. And then you screw it into a stud. Ideally two for a big enough bookcase, but at least one. John, right?
Correct.
Everything that is a dresser, because what happens? Kids pull the drawers out and climb up the drawers like it's a ladder, right? If it's attached to a stud, it won't fall over. No matter what you do, it won't fall over. And if it's only into the drywall or if it's not attached, you take your chances. TVs kill kids every year by falling over on them. You've got to 20 to 30 times a year, okay? And 14,000 emergency room visits. Secure your stuff to a stud. Local news.